RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This is CX of M Radio, the voice of customer experience professionals.
Welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join me on today. And as always, a very special welcome to those of you joining us for the first time. Today, we're going to share the finale of the series where I was talking to Spencer Ivory and his daughter, Ayana Ivory. Spencer has been doing what we like to refer to as UX type of work since the late 1980s. He precedes me in the discipline and for almost everybody else that I know who's involved in this arena. His daughter, Ayana, is a major part of the Hack the Hood organization. They're doing some fantastic work. Check them out at hackthehood.org. But folks, without further ado, you know what? Let's go ahead and let's dive in and hear the end of this very energetic and informative dialogue between myself and the Ivory family.
We have to be careful how we message and use that user experience of messaging to convince other people about things that are potentially harmful. And there are people with master's degrees who believe that lie. And I just, you know, I'm sad.
PhDs.
And I'm sorry that I thought 1 + 1 was always 2.
Always 2. Yep. I say the same thing.
You can't imagine things happening and then say, well, no, I think I won. So therefore I won. And, you know, and it's just, I don't know, where are we going? That's the user experience, right? We're telling each other lies and believing them. And I think, and Deanna, I told you this too, that whole social media stuff, it's kind of fringe edge and it's out of control because anybody can do a platform. And if you get people to lie enough, they start believing that stuff. So
off the charts.
And I'm away from it, but we gotta control the messaging. Let's solve the problems that we can solve that produces tangible results for humanity.
Yes.
Not just a buzzword. Not buzzwords. I'm sorry. The grapefruit juice guy, what was he riding? What was it?
He was riding a motorcycle. And I was just saying, like, TikTok has been an inspirational platform for all of these people, right? And that then there would be more niche products for people to create these like social interactivities.
Yeah. All right. I'll leave it at that. You know, I'll leave you with the last thing. Dad's old school and how I feel about social media, right? Social media got us into this mess long time ago, and that was back when Facebook did its thing. But anyway, sorry, Darren.
and I say all the time, you remind me of something I say on a pretty regular basis. It's called social media. Social media. And if you don't have the proper social skills, just get lost. Because you're just, all they're doing is going around hurting people. And the person you mentioned has made that type of behavior popular. And it's actually, it's being used to dismantle a discipline that we know and love. When people will just say something and it's true because you said it. Yeah. This is how you can get a UX leadership job with no experience. And now you got this Hollywood style production on YouTube where they even, you even got the camera person showing you're walking up to the building. So they show your feet. You know, do we really need this Hollywood production that's full of lies to try to impress up and comers in UX? No, we don't. And until people get some thicker skin, as we begin to wrap up here, until people get some thicker skin, everything we talked about today, folks be willing to do the right thing. Get rid of the placating. Make sure you understand talk about trajectory, the history of the discipline, where you are now, where did you enter on UX's timeline? How much of that history did you learn? How much of it are you using it to build yourself up and equip yourself and having the right acumen? How much of it are you in alignment with? Or are you trying to redefine it like a lot of people are? Just because they say it. No. We've got a beautiful discipline that a lot of people have accomplished some fantastic things through it. Driving wins for users, driving wins for businesses, driving wins for the business at large. And until we folks get humble and align the right way with the discipline, we got a problem.
No, you touched on some really important things. You're right. And there's room for a topic discussion on that, because I think they've bastardized UX in some ways.
Right.
They've taken it and they said, well, you know, you can just take this class right here and you can be a UX designer. Well, wait a minute. You know, I understand how the career got, so we say, created itself, but you got to pay your dues. It's like, it's sort of, well, you know, but then again, you got extreme programming. You got these, you know, like what my daughter is actually, you know, trying to get kids in the heck the hood, right? Give that to me is like an opportunity that should have been taken care of by our institutions. But now the wherewithal of her organization, they've looked at this and said, you know, there's some disenfranchisement, right? There's a whole group of people who've been disenfranchised because of various reasons, right? Mm-hmm. I think that but bringing this back to the UX is they want to hand out the certificates and just teach. It's more than just doing wireframes. It's more than just say, I can do this on the screen. I can later. Do you understand where that button is there on the screen? How did it wind up there? And if you put it here, will it make an impact and allow people to be productive? You have to understand that part of it, right? You have to step back. But no one wants to learn that. They don't want to learn that part of it, right? They just want to go, they want to apply for the job, get the title, you know, get the money if they can get it. But at the same time, they don't really understand what they're doing. And then they get, you know, the next job. And then you get in, and then there you are in that meeting and you're having to placate this guy because, you know, he did the 2-year career thing or the 1-year career thing. He's worked at some, he went to work at IDEO. And I'm like, okay, he's at IDEO now. He's at this other organization. IDEO, they brought him in. I was really, he did some interesting things over there. But then some of the facets of what we do, he missed it. And then when we would have these discussions, I could see in those design critiques, as we call them, design crits, that he didn't have what he called the chops to really push that forward and to understand what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to have some understanding. How much time it takes to get that is each person's individuality, right? They'll get there at some point in time in their first, but don't don't walk into my office and say, you know, you got all this. And I've seen this stuff on Medium where they write these different stories about stuff. I'm like, why would you want to write that and put it out there in public? Because you, if you really knew what you were talking about, you wouldn't. I wouldn't say that.
Right.
I wouldn't say that. Right. But because, you know, this guy took, she took a class, and it was a woman. Am I robbing her because she's a female? But she took a couple of classes, and she felt that she was empowered enough to write this article. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. But, you know, but when you look at the article, it's like empty, because you, if you knew what you were talking about, you wouldn't say that. You just wouldn't say that. But it is what it is.
Right. You remind me of, I went to an event, and for the people who went to that event and hear me say this, I'm just being transparent. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling the truth. I am not going to be demonized or turned into a criminal because I'm willing to say what everybody else is afraid to say. So political correctness be gone. But I went to an event where people were talking about research repositories. And I said, yeah, you know, I want to go and hear what they're talking about, because you never know what nuggets you might get. And I want to meet some of the people in the community. Let me go and see what happens. I had no expectations. Let me just go. These people start getting into this presentation, and I recognize it 5 minutes in. None of these people know what they're talking about from the perspective that, and let me qualify what I mean by that. They all know, they understand research repositories. They understand what research repositories are for. They understand how to use it to drive value at work. But that doesn't necessarily qualify you to get up and talk to everybody about it. Did they their surface? If you were to, let's put the Likert scale to a different visual, and let's look at it at the surface of the ground and depth. Let's look at it from a perspective of roots. That the more understanding you have on a scale of 1 to 10, less roots is a 1 and more roots is a 10. And the truth is, when you're talking to somebody about a subject, the more roots you have, the more you can impact everybody that's present, and the broader of an audience, you'll be able to help walk away with some value. But if you don't know, if your depth is like a 0.5 on the scale of 1 to 10, you don't even make the 1. And the stuff that you talk about at this event is the same stuff I would have gotten had I gone to the program's website that you talked about that you use and just read that, because it's just in the, what does our program do? It does these 10 things. That's all they talked about. So you, when people get up to speak, they're supposed to be able to bring depth.
Right.
You don't get up and speak because you can talk about the same thing that was in the 30-second commercial. That doesn't give you the right to speak. But there are so many people today who want to be celebrities. There's so many people who want the spotlight on them, and they're willing to get up and just, I mean, I couldn't believe this one part of the presentation where they got up and they said, somebody said, well, which other tools out there do you know about any other tools and anything else you recommend? Well, I don't really know about any other tools. And why did you choose that one? We chose that one because that's all the decision was already made in the budget. So wait a minute. You're talking about, you know how many tools there are for research repositories? You can't provide any depth. You can't talk about why are you going to get a referral because you refer people to the one you, what is this? So, and somebody asked me, so what'd you think about the event? I said, oh, you know, it was too high level for me. I wasn't lying. I'm not going to lie. You couldn't pay me to lie, but that was it. I didn't want to get into standard Darren Hood mode and say what I'm saying right now. I didn't think that would be appropriate. So I'm saying it now because I'm on my show and I get to push the buttons. So it was a waste for anybody. So see, when you have 3 minutes more experience than everybody else and you think that gives you the right to talk, that needs to stop in UX today, and it's rampant. So you get all these people because they want to be a celebrity. I talked at so-and-so, and you see their little headshot, and they're grinning on the little thing for the event. But you're grinning, but you didn't do anything. I remember a guy once who said, I want to speak at events. I remember a guy worked at the same company that I mentioned a little while ago. I want to be able to speak at an event. I think I'll apply to speak. And then they get up, and then they talk about a case study. So you didn't really bring anything to the table. You sat there and you sounded like Ben Stein. You may as well have had on a Glenn Plaid suit and a bow tie. And yes, and research repository will help you too. You know, and you're not bringing anything to the table. No. It's not going to end. But I'm still going to stand up here and say it needs to end because it's hurting us. Because when the C-suite hears that, and the other people that are, that the decision makers, the people with the pen waiting to sign the checks, see that kind of stuff, they think we're a bunch of idiots. Frankly, no, because people aren't representing the discipline the right way.
No, you're exactly right. Darren, I mean, I think that's the problem that we have to be. The stalwarts, you, myself, you know, we have to call them out when we see it, right? You have the opportunity to call them out. Obviously, you can't go in some of those settings and just, you know, put people on, right, to skewer them up in front of an office. Our audience, I mean, you can grab them outside, you know, and say, hey, listen, you know, that was totally a disservice and you should have prepared yourself better.
Yeah, and that's it.
And if you want to do it, yeah, if you want to do this again, give me a call. Let me review your notes. I'll give you a hand. But it's obviously, mm-hmm, you're doing us all a disservice. Yeah. Because you're right. The C-suite people see us as this, we got out of the witch doctor phase of things to now where we have an ear in the C-suite offices and we get an opportunity to pitch to them. But I think the thing is, we don't want to go backwards. We want to push the curve. I'd rather have a seat at the table, that is a CUX role within corporations, because, mm-hmm, the customer experience is important as anything else. And by the way, you know, you and I both know, and this is probably we drive development. We represent your customer. We represent the people that buy your product. You know, so you had better pay attention to the table, listen, so that we get this right. Because if you get it wrong, you don't get enough. You know, sometimes you don't get another opportunity.
Yeah,
I keep using, you know, this whole thing with Elon Musk. The guy's doing himself a total disservice because Tesla was riding high in the saddle. But you know what? People now are saying, you know what? I don't like this guy, and I'm not going to buy his products, right? and then the competition is catching up with him, right? He had a good product. He could have drove it further down the curve, but then, you know, he is what he is. But anyway, but I agree with you 100%. You know, just don't do us a disservice when you have the opportunity to present what we do and how we do it and do it well, because I always feel that's being the long in the tooth. That's our job, would be stewards. I mean, I stand on the shoulders of Jacob Nielsen and Don Norman and those guys who've been doing this stuff since sin. I mean, they were the ones who invented this stuff, right? And I read every book that they had, you know, and got in their face every chance I had an opportunity to ask them these niche questions to understand what they have forgotten. And in a lot of cases, you know, Don Norman is starting to be, he's getting in long in the tooth. I can see he's starting to forget things, but he's earned that right to forget things because he was one of the forefront figures here that I stood up and that's how I learned. I read every book that he wrote, him and Jacob Nielsen. I've literally just, you know, I drank everything because I wanted the passion.
Yeah.
I wanted to understand what I was doing so that I could do it better. Right.
Yes. And
that's the thing that these young kids or the young, whatever they are, the X generation, the Z generation, they don't want to do that, right? You know, at first, you know, it was like the X, and it was the millennials, and it's the Z's. You know, you follow them around a little bit. You're like, come on, guys, you got to dig in a little bit deeper than that. Because I had a woman call me when she said, how did you become a principal architect? I said, well, why are you asking? Because I want to be one too. I said, well, you want to be one too? How do you want to be what I am? If you know, you got to pay some dues somewhere. And she kept asking me this question. Well, how did you get here? Did you just put your name? I said, well, maybe you just put a title on your name. Maybe people come to you. No, I tried that one before. And it didn't work so well. I'm like, well, do you really understand the profession? And then when you get the opportunity, do you able to amplify that? So I think the thing is the stewards have to call them out. You're right. Call them out, man.
I had somebody wrote me. We extend a little bit here. I got to tell the story. Somebody wrote me, I mean, my LinkedIn mailbox blows up all the time. And sometimes I wonder, do you people do realize that I have things to do too? But anyway, that's another. But so, because some of the requests, I'm like, okay, I'm just sitting under a tree drinking iced tea, whatever you want. No, I got things to do. And somebody said, hey, I was wondering, you know, do you, by chance, is it possible that I might be able to work with you? Do you have anything at your job that you might be able to hand off for me that I can do? Because I'd like to grow. And I, you know, do you do UX strategy? I'm like, do I do UX strategy? I've been doing it for 27 years. What do you think? You know, I didn't know how to answer. I'm like, what? No, I never done UX strategy. You know, I'm like, what? And then the person after that, and I'm listening to some of these up and coming folks that need to go, they need an enema. I say that a lot. I'm saying it again on this episode. Folks need an enema. They need a cognitive enema. Person says, you know, I've been doing this work for 2 years. I have a really strong understanding of user experience. I'm like, what? I didn't have a strong understanding after 10 years. And with misinformation flying around the way it is today, and all the learning experiences that are not learning experiences, and all this medium, the cesspool of medium, and all the ridiculosity that's out on Reddit and all this kind of stuff, and stupid posts on social media go viral, where when you say something true, two people like it, and you're telling me you think you got a solid grip on it. No, you don't. And I said, you want to be careful with that. You know, I'm saying this now. If the person hears, now you hear what was in my head, I told that person, you want to rethink that, because you just, by the question you asked me, you don't know. If I'm working at a Fortune, the company I start at next week is a Fortune 100 company. Do you really think that I can just willy-nilly grab somebody off of LinkedIn and give them some work to do? Do you realize the NDAs associate? Where do you think I work? Mom and Pop Kettle's fish bait? Where do you think I work? I know, I just told my age on that, Mom. People don't even know who Mom and Pop Kettle is. So the
I do.
And I'm like, no. How is that even possible? No. No, you're going to have to do it. Just like Spencer just said, you got to pay your dues. You got to pull back on the reins. You're going too fast. It doesn't happen that way. And I always call that the microwavable mindset. A microwavable mindset yields no benefits. Yeah. In UX, you got to take your time. Everything you do, you want it to stick to your ribs. If you don't take the time to do something, it won't stick to your ribs. It's going to go straight through you, so to speak, and you're not going to be able to bring value. And I had a post that I did today, and I told somebody, and I schedule most of my posts, and I said something on, I said, I heard somebody at an event last week, they said, you know what, and when you get in front of that recruiter, you want to make sure that you seem like you know what you're talking about. I'm like, did you just hear what you just said? Seem like you know what you're talking about. So I had a post that said, don't seem hireable, one of the shortest posts I've ever done. You don't want to seem hireable, you want to be hireable. And then somebody came back, and an honest question, but still, it reeked a little bit of a lack of understanding in a way that this is going to need some, you need some tough words on this one to get the point across to you, that the person said, well, how can you be hireable if you don't have any experience? And I actually had a post that I had forgotten to post. And so I'm like, hey, that's what she just asked about. So I posted it. When you don't bring anything to the table, you need to, number one, you need to develop some empathy. You're entering a discipline that requires empathy. So you need empathy. I know people don't like this, but you got to have empathy for the company that might hire you. Yeah. You need to understand their perspective. And the more you understand their perspective, actually, the more attractive you're going to be, because you're not just somebody looking for a handout. Because too many people forgot. These are businesses. These are not charities. You know, who can we give a job to? We just got to give jobs away. Nobody's saying that in any boardroom, in any HR department, anywhere. Nobody's saying that. So you need to bring something to the table. And I said, when you're an entry-level UXer, they're going to lose money on you for at least the first year. So what do you bring to the table? So, you know, somebody said, well, what can I do to bring value? Someone asked me this and answered the same question. What can I do to bring value for you if I was to work for you? I said, I wouldn't be looking for you to bring value to me. I'm looking for energy. I'm looking for passion. I'm looking for a willingness to learn. I'm looking for a whole bunch of stuff that It has nothing to do with UX. Because if you have those things, we can train you to, we can help you learn how to do UX. Even if you have a degree, you're still going to have to learn. All you have is a degree. You don't know what you're doing yet. Even a master's degree, you're not a master when you graduate. You're on the road to mastery. And I teach at 4 universities now. And I know that. You're on the road to mastery. So you, when you graduate, we drop you in a seat at a Fortune 50 company, a Fortune 5,000 company for that matter. You don't know what you're doing. It doesn't matter where you sit. You don't know what you're doing. So you are going to have to be a sponge for that first 6 to 12 months minimally before you can even think about bringing value in that organization.
It's interesting about the word sponge. I mean, I have from my picture at this new organization, I told you earlier before we started recording all this, I have a picture of SpongeBob. That's my avatar. I'm still SpongeBob. Until I become more knowledgeable about their organization, I'll be SpongeBob. That means I'm listening. You have to humble yourself to better understand the environment. And I think, you know, one way to humble yourself, and when you talk about the new candidates coming into this profession, I think they should really just do usability testing. Just go out and look at users, fumble around, and try to use a product. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is. That's where I would start someone new in my organization if I brought them. I said, you know what? I need some usability testing. And I'm gonna put you out there. I'm going to teach you this tool. Pretty simple. Hit the record button. Stay on the script. Don't coach. Get them to talk out loud and run the script, right? Just watch them do things. And, you know, and then work it through. You look at those minutiae of information often long enough, you just go, wow. The light bulbs in your head should go off and go, I get it. I get it. I get it why Darren told me that. He said that to me, right? I'm useless until your eyes can see, right?
Yep.
So like you're looking at this thing and you don't get it, but then all of a sudden, it's like, the analogy is the tennis players, you know, the tennis ball's coming at you at 100 miles an hour. The guys that are good can slow it down.
Yeah.
It's like baseball. They can slow the ball down and watch it actually hit the bat. That's when you know you're getting good. I think UX is the same way.
Yes.
You're getting a lot of information, but you got to be able to slow it down and watch where that cursor is going or what the user's eyebrows are doing, how he's staring, how he's posing the question back to you, if he's kind of like being facetious or is he just being really honest. You know, people need to be vulnerable when they do usability tests. They got to be, I don't know if I want to be this way in front of you. You know, hey, listen, I don't care what you look like. All I care about is I'm going to keep you on strict. I'm going to keep you on task. Just finish it out and talk to me. What's going on in your mind? What is your mental model telling you? Is it telling you that command that we got that says run, does it make enough sense to you? Or do we need to say run this analysis or run this test to give you these results? It's just stuff like that, Darren. So I think the thing is, it's all about, that entry point, but the willingness to be curious. Curiosity is the biggest thing that we can offer anyone in this business.
Yes.
You got to be curious. Got to be.
That's one of the big things. That's one of the things that I list. I list that in my emotional intelligence model. That's a sign of emotional intelligence. And I said, that's one of the things I want for my entry-level UX people. I don't want them to come in and start to take over and lead everybody and be a thought leader. You don't have to do that. We're looking for somebody that can be molded.
Yeah.
Looking for somebody that can be molded. So.
Turn yourself into a piece of clay.
Amazing stuff. Folks, this is a dynamite conversation. This is dynamite. I love what everybody has had to say. People are going to really get a lot out of this. And this is why we do what we do, to share this kind of stuff. This isn't going to go viral because it makes too much sense. But for the people that do value it, that's good enough. And we'll have to be satisfied with that. But thank you.
Then do a clip and put it on TikTok.
What we at? 10-minute limits? Ayana, on TikTok now. 10-minute limit, right? Yeah, I think it's 10 now. They just upped it. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll I need to start doing some video and putting the stuff up on YouTube.
10 minutes is too long for attention spans. I'll tell you that
it is. I used to do the video best practices for Ford Motor Company on their on Ford.com, and we found that the max should be approximately 4.5 minutes max.
90 seconds.
90 seconds on TikTok.
Yeah. No, wow. I mean that was some of the research that I found. Like,
yeah,
if you don't get your point across in the first 90 seconds, then you've lost them.
Wow. Wow. I think it's different types. It depends on the type.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but a minute and a half. Wow. Way to go. But no, but I don't know why they expanded to 10 minutes. I don't know what people are going to do in 10 minutes. And then YouTube, you know, we're just out there on YouTube. It's like, you know, you can come back and watch it later. but we'll one of these days I'll find a way. Some of these things have to just put them on YouTube. Even if we just have to put some kind of regular, we can take the audio and just put an image that just stays there. We can do it that way. But I'm looking for, and I'm talking about having some YouTube sessions where we will be on video, and I've got all the different software to do all this kind of stuff with the nice lower thirds and the big I won't say Hollywood production, but I am certified in the old Comcast. Oh, there's that name again. I'm not going to push the button. But producing for public access and stuff like that, so I can produce this show. We'll get to that stuff. No rush. I need to finish my dissertation before we can get into a lot of that stuff. But thank you again, Ivories, for being here on today. Close out words. We always give folks close out words. So Ayanna, we'll start with you. What are your closing words for the audience today?
Closing words is just always remain a student. I mean, there's so much to learn all the time from different avenues. Don't be afraid to learn from somebody older and somebody younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that doorway open.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And Spencer, your closing words for the audience today.
My closing words, thanks for having me. And thank you for putting up with some of my long-winded, roundabout ways of explaining things. But that's just, I would say that's the OG school. I'm still from the OG school, trying to stay current. Yeah, I agree with my daughter. You know, as much as I ask younger people to immerse themselves in what we do, at the same time, I have to learn from them. I have to see what, I got to walk in their shoes as well as I want them to walk in my shoes. Mm-hmm. It goes both ways.
Absolutely.
So, thank you for having me here.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is dynamite. And I love this. And got to have you on again. So, I want to bring people, voices that people need to hear. Those are the kind of people I want coming through the show. So thank you. I appreciate you being here and lending your time to the U.S. community today.
Problem.
So folks, that is all the time that we have for today. Thanks again to the Ivories, but it's time to sign off. So until next time, this is Darren Hood of the World of UX saying happy UXing, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for this session of CX of M Radio. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit cxofm.org for more resources.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.